people that sincerely and seriously look at the words of this book and seek to understand, seek to apply them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is the third question that the people in Corinth was asking Paul about spiritual gifts, and it runs all the way through chapter 15, the answer. And in chapter 15 is about the resurrection. So the idea of having spiritual gifts is to be a partaker of the divine nature, where you exercise your gift. Not only that, when we get to verse 12, as we're at, we recognize, can you imagine, as being a born-again believer, you are a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Let that sink in for a while. We're a member of the body of Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, for sure, but still, that's quite an elevation. Mike Pearl used to have a shirt that he'd wear out when he was publicly street preaching, and he had the shirt says, "I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ." Now that would be a tough one for people to accept, wouldn't it? But is that not true according to the Bible? And boy, when we recognize our position in Christ, we can stand back and put our shoulders back and stand up confident for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be careful where we take the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful thing to be a part of. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 is where we're at. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ." Now, when you see the word members in the Bible, as far as churches go, as far as church polity goes, when they see the word member, they see church membership, what's called church membership. And that causes a lot of discord in churches. Churches down in Hollers, Kentucky, down south, where the churches will have this vast membership, and it's usually a lot of families in the area, and they get a preacher in, and some of these people who hadn't even been in church in months, and somebody in church gets mad at the preacher, and they call everybody out of the Hollers, and we're going to vote this guy out, and that's often what they do. Okay, and that's the problem with membership. The Baptist Briders want to make sure you're a member in their Baptist church, okay, and get baptized in their Baptist church. Did you know that the Apostle Paul was a member of the Church of Rome, the Church of Corinth, and the Church of Ephesus? What a church hopper he was. All three churches, he mentioned that he's a member with them. Membership in the Bible has nothing to do with the physical nature of the local church. It's dealing with the spiritual nature of Jesus Christ. Okay, if we're going to go to the local church, what is the Lord interested in? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Here would be the more appropriate term. Acts 2, verse 42. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Okay, a person can be an official member in a local church, but not in good fellowship with the church. Visitors can come in and be good fellowship with the church, but aren't officially a member. Okay, and so if we allow the Bible to dictate the polity of a church, polity is another word for policy, but polity is probably a more legal term. The idea of membership began developed as a result of a corporation status of a church brings people under the IRS banner. Now, it was reported to me today, and I remember hearing Trump talk about this, where he's wanting churches with the 501c3 to be at liberty to express their political views, because some are in danger of losing their tax exemption. Now, I've never been concerned about that, okay, because, you know, none of us were alive when that agreement was made. But still at that, for a president to encourage that, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So a lot of times when a person goes from this church to this church, they'll send these letters back, a letter of recommendation or a letter of this or blah, blah. You know, usually when I get them, I throw them in file 13. And really, it's not a big deal. Now, there is something to maybe a person officially saying that I want to be a part of this church as a church body. That's one thing. But we're not going to make a big deal about that because the Bible doesn't make a big deal about it. What's more important is to be a member of Jesus Christ, okay, and to be in good fellowship with a local body of believers, like-minded believers, or as close as you can get. So what an honor and a blessing God in the New Testament as a result of new birth, where he's established that when you get born again, you're placed in Jesus Christ. Chapter 12, verse 13 is Paul's one-sentence summary of what John the Baptist prophesied about Jesus, when he said in Mark 1, I baptize you with water, but the one that followeth is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Okay, in Mark, he just said Holy Ghost. In Matthew, he threw in fire. Okay, and a Pentecostal is always wanting to jump that fire. You want to stay away from that fire. Fire's kind of hot. Okay, you want to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine? Let's start a new denomination after another Jewish holiday, the Sabbath, the Sabbathites. Pentecostal, that's a Jewish holiday. Who would call themselves after a Jewish holiday? The Feast of Tabernacles. You know, new thing. But, oh well, people just don't read much Bible. Okay, so verse 13, he says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into H2O. No, one body. Okay, what's that body? Verse 27. Body of Christ. And then he says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, amazing how God writes that. Where when a man wants to declare his self-righteousness, can you imagine verse 13, if a person has water on the mind, and when they read that, and they read baptized, and if they're thinking water, and then they see drink. See how they could imagine H2O is involved with that, but it's not in the passage. And so the Lord will write the Bible in such a way that if a man wants to deceive himself, he'll let him deceive himself. Okay, so by one Spirit are we all baptized. Okay, baptize is a transliteration. God used this opportunity to create a new English word, as he did many words like him, H-Y-M-N, like amen. Okay, those are new English words. And so baptize is one of those. Into one body, that body is Christ, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Now, if a person in this age, when God looks at that individual, if he sees a Jew or a Gentile from his perspective, they're lost. It's Jew, Gentile, Church of God. So when God looks at an individual, when he sees a member of the body of Christ, he's looking at a saved individual. So it'd be very foolish for a Christian to say that I am in Israel. That'd be very foolish for a Christian saying that Israel's the church. But if a person wants to do that, hey, have at it. Okay, but we do know that we retain our physical distinctions. Okay, but spiritually we're in Christ. Whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So the Spirit of God comes in the body of the believer and does several things to the believer. Places the believer in Christ, Christ in him. And there's so many things that happen, it's just beyond us because God takes over. Okay, God is the one that creates the new creation, where a person is born in the Spirit. So verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Okay, if the foot shall say, that's why you have a tongue in your shoe, just in case your foot needs to talk. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So we each have a part, a role to play. It doesn't matter what part of the body we're of, it's a matter of being in the body. And if the whole body were an eye, the all-seeing eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So that would go back to the gifts. So when we discover our gift, then we could efficiently serve the Lord as it hath pleased him. So we discover the role that God wants us to fulfill. Most people are worried about somebody else's role. No, take care of your own and don't worry about somebody else's. Okay, and rest in the Lord in that. And like the woman, it says, she had done what she could. Don't worry about what you can't do. Okay, we're told a lot, you know, so-and-so's, we're going to win the world. That's not your job to win the world. That's not my job. My job is a sphere of influence that I have, and I do what I can. And I try to take care of what God wants me to take care of. And if the Lord wants to expand it, that's his choice. And if he doesn't, that's his choice. If he wants to shrink it, that's his choice. Okay, and so we accept that role as it hath pleased him. So she hath done what she could, the widow's mite. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members yet but one body? And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Okay, the appendix. Oh, it's a vestigial organ. Until it's taken away from you. You know, the tonsils, you know, vestigial organ, adenoids and all those things. No, each one of them necessary. Once in a while, a man figures out that they were of value. Okay, so verse 22, man says, oh, it left over. You know, if they were left over, I still, personally, I wish it still had that tail. That would be very handy. Grabbing a wrench when I got two hands being held, I could grab a wrench with the third one or hold a light with a tail. That'd be very handy. It would make a pair of pants tougher to wear, though. Okay. Maybe that's why they had that little slit in the back of a suit coat, in case your tail came through that little slit. I don't know what that is. But, more feeble are necessary. Those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Uncomely parts, that's what makeup's for. Cover up that, you know. If the barn needs paint, and paint it, but don't use Olympic overcoat. Okay, so that's how it goes. Okay, so... Uncomely parts. Now, man, isn't it amazing when our pinky hurts or our little toe? Boy, that gets all our attention. And when somebody's hurting at a church, we want to give that attention and pray for them. I mean, when your pinky hurts, you don't smack your other pinky to make this one feel better. A lot of times when somebody's hurting at church, they want to smack them. No, we need to pray for them more. So it says, for our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. I was watching a debate by this Englishman. Can't remember his name. Was Richard Dawkins. Man, this Englishman put that guy in his place so many times. Very kind gentleman. Very scientific minded. And he put Christopher Hutchins in his place, and Christopher Hutchins even had to admit that he lost. But this Englishman was really, and he talked about the eye. Are you telling me, Richard Dawkins, that the eye evolved through millions of years? That clown tried to glorify science to the point, isn't it amazing how that eye developed through millions of years? He's not glorifying science, he's glorifying science fiction. Now, who was it that interviewed Richard Dawkins and pushed him to a limit and said, come on, do you really think that this earth is eternal? And he pushed him to the limit. A guy said, well, to be honest with you, I'll be very honest with you. He said, I think possibly aliens put it here. Well, there's his creator. And then he said, I'm pretty candid in this interview. You're a pretty knucklehead, too. I mean, he pushed him to the point where you got to say it's eternal or something created it. So he couldn't say eternal. Well, he could have said it, but that goes against science. And so he threw in the idea of a UFO or some alien. So there's his creator. And boy, he doesn't want to. I hate to be him standing in front of God. It's going to be tough for any of us. Okay, so he says, 24:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Okay, then you got your personality traits, and you got to overcome those personality traits. So-and-so is, goes against your personality. So, okay, that's somebody you need to pray for. And then do something secretly for them that nobody knows you did it, something good that costs you some time or money, and then where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, so there's other ways around these things to do the right thing. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer for it, with it. Okay, for we obviously know what he's talking about there with our physical body. And one member be honored, all the members are envious of the honor. Oh, no, rejoice with it. Rejoice, yes. Okay, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So spiritually speaking, the Baptist briders who want to make sure you join their church selectively and get baptized by them selectively, okay, they're going to come out adamantly against what is sometimes called the universal church, the mystical church, the spiritual church. Well, that's a Catholic doctrine. So they overreact, okay, and ignore it totally. No, you have the mystical church. That would be our spiritual body. That's our soul. And then there's the physical church, that's the local church, that would be our body. So there's no problem both ways on that one. Then verse 28, he's starting to ask some questions here. He's starting to lay some things out in the matter of the gifts. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. Okay, so those are all gone. All the apostles are gone. Anybody who claims to be apostle today is a liar. If they claim to be apostolic, they're lying, whether it be purposeful or not. Revelation 2, verse 2 says, if somebody says they're apostles, you are to try them and you will find that they are lying. So nobody's an apostle today. That's all done. They don't have apostolic signs. That's all done. Secondarily, prophets. Okay, that's available. Maybe not particularly like the Old Testament prophets, but they're still prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Okay, that's available. Where Ephesians, one of the gifts is a pastor and teacher. After that, miracles. Now that miracle is God is a God of miracles, but yet God doesn't place that within a person unless that person's an apostle. And since the apostles are gone, then that individual is a fake. If he's claiming to do these miracles. Okay, then gifts of healing. Okay, again, that goes with the signs of the apostles. And then helps. Okay, there we go. Helps. helping somebody. That's a servant. That's doing what you can to help somebody in any way you can help them. Governments. We have kind of a distorted view of government. When you get with the government and farce, the governing structures of a community, that's technically a legal fiction. Okay, it's really a lot of the legalese that attorneys use is a fiction. Okay, what is the United States? What is it? Is it all 50 states together? Is it all 50 states plus D.C. together? Is it a corporation? You don't know what it is. And if you go to Black's Law Dictionary, you'll get about three or four definitions. And in the Declaration of Independence, when they wrote United States of America, if you look at it detailed, it'll be a lowercase u and then an uppercase s, because each individual state was a nation all its own and a unique nation. And what was significant was the state. And what brought the Constitution or Abe Lincoln? Abe Lincoln instituted uppercase U, uppercase S, creating a corporation under the Queen of England. That's if you kind of get into the conspiracy thing. So it's a misnomer in many ways, okay? And a person, you try to understand it, but it's such a tangled web, it's hard to figure out. Okay, and a lot of counterfeits all through it. Okay, but in this context, governments would be somebody who is organized, who's often a behind-the-scenes person who can organize and delegate things, and this person does. It's not a bossy individual. It's just that you need a head or a coach of a team. Okay, some coaches are really loud. Some of us are old enough to remember Tom Landry. Very quiet on the sidelines. I remember watching Larry Bird coach when Indiana Pacers got into the championship game, and a guy who was the shooting, Reggie Miller, made a shot, a last-second shot, and got him in a championship. Everybody was just going ballistic crazy, and Bird just stood on the sidelines like this. Most exciting time of the game, he just stood there. And he's probably thinking, well, that's what should have happened. If I would have played, it wouldn't have been this close. Probably would have said, he's just very relaxed, calm individual. And then you have some that are very loud. Okay, but what they are is they're organizers. A football coach, you wouldn't believe the schedule a football coach takes. The coach for the Baltimore Ravens actually put his schedule up one time. I mean, like 4 hours of sleep a night, delegates like 1 hour for his wife the entire week during the season, watching films all day long. Who would want a job like that? Okay, but yet that would be under governments, okay, where a person is an organizer, okay, and they could think and try to give the job to a selective person that would do good at that job. Okay, diversities of tongues. Okay, that's a unique gift. That's described in chapter 14. And then he starts throwing out questions. Now, these questions, the assumed answer, or not assumed answer, the appropriate answer is no. Are all apostles? Well, of course, no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Pentecostals say yes. But the implied answer is no. Do all interpret? Well, again, the answer is no. But if you take a vacation, you go to Pentecostal church, get the gift of interpretation and have some fun with it. If somebody stands up, blah, 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 and they get done, you say, I have the gift of healing. They just said they're going to give me $50. The Spirit has led me to tell you. I mean, that's what they do. Just as fakey as anything else. Okay, so the answers, do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gift. So that That statement, covet, that's a good word in this context. Covet, desire, crave. That tells us that you can have more than one gift. That tells us that we can grow in grace. And then that becomes a more excellent way. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Now, what is the excellent way he's about ready to show? The next chapter. Uncharity. And a lot of people subconsciously say it's the love chapter. No, it's the charity chapter. Okay, love without charity is dead. Charity is a new, superior, progressive revelation of God. You will not get by the Strong's Concordance. You won't get it by so-called Greek and Hebrew manuscripts. It's an enlightenment. It's part of God's progressive revelation. He is showing an advanced, an upper-level form of charity within a Christian setting. First occurrence is found in Romans 14 of the word charity. Okay, and then it comes all the way through. It's very unique. Okay, word. All the new Bible is going to remove the word charity, throw love in there, and to miss the entire truth. Okay, so here's charity. And it's an amazing thing. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Okay, so what's the language of angels? People think Hebrew. Fine and dandy, doesn't matter. And have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Okay, so why is he talking about tongues? If we know that tongues today is no longer a gift available today, because chapter 13 says it's going to cease in verse 8. When does it cease? In Acts 28. 1 Corinthians was written about Acts 20. So that's why it's still discussed. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Okay, now the mysteries, mysterious things in the Bible, very difficult ideas to believe at first. Okay, seven major mysteries. Clarence Larkin, I think, puts them in 11. It doesn't matter. The mystery of the rapture. Okay, or the translation. How is it that some people are just going to disappear? It's a mystery. Okay, but here he's implying we can understand the mysteries. So with further revelation, further study, the Lord can start enlightening us to understand what the rapture might be like. Or the deity of Jesus Christ, God manifests in the flesh, or the mystical body of Christ. So those are some things that we can understand with the Lord enlightening us with time. And though I have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Now, Mother Teresa, you know, that's what the news media, all exalted Mother Teresa, oh, what a fine lady, blah, 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 blah. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you ever read some of her letters in the closing days of her life? I am in darkness. I am without God. Yeah, if she believed what her church says, she was without God. And so, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, that one amazes me. Who would die, a martyr, just to do it? Well, some people in Vietnam did. Buddhists in Vietnam, before the Vietnam War, they protested by taking gasoline and pouring themselves and torching themselves. Wow, that's a one-time protest. That's it. I mean, what were they protesting? Well, the Catholic ruler, Diem, And the Catholic priest said that Mary fled North Vietnam and came down to South Vietnam, and they were trying to push Catholicism on these Buddhists, and the Buddhist priests were protesting. And then Diem was taken out November 1st by an assassination, and the other Roman Catholic, JFK, was taken out November 22nd. That war began as a religious war between Buddhists and Catholics. And the Catholics were the instigators of it under Diem. But boy, those people protest. Japanese pilots. Wow. They died a pretty rough way to die. For what? For an emperor? For an emperor? So, though I give my body to be burned, I have not charity. Charity for the Lord God. Okay, it profiteth me nothing, meaning it's not going to count at the judgment seat. And then any of us, when we analyze our, when we say I love so-and-so, okay, love without charity is dead. And so here is our definition, the full, complete definition from verse 4, actually to verse 7. So that's the entire definition of charity. And when we humbly read that and honestly and sincerely look at ourselves, if we could do it honestly, we're going to have to say, boy, do I fall short. And God, give me grace to allow the Spirit to put that in me. And you believe that the Spirit of God is able to do that for us, and then let Him work through us. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Okay, so he had to throw both of those in there. Charity envieth not. The person who wrote that is reading into the heart of each and every one of us. Man doesn't write like that. Man does not write like that, because when man writes like that, he's looking in the mirror and said, boy, I can't put that down. That's God writing. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Okay, that's what a tongue speaker does. Look at me, watch me, watch me. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Okay, unseemly is inappropriately. Unseemly. If you run it back to Romans 1:27, it brings it into a whole other idea. Go back to Romans 1:27. We won't mention that publicly, but look that word up, okay? And look in the context of that. Charity doth not behave itself unseemly. I use that cross-reference in Romans 1:27. Charity seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. There we go. Does a child provoke us quickly? Does a person provoke us? Gets under our skin. Okay, and like in sports really manifests the flesh. Boy, does it show the flesh. And somebody gets under our skin in sports, man, you want to say something or whatever. Okay, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. What do you have to throw that in there for? Thinketh no evil. That's evil surmisings, it's called in 2 Timothy. Rejoices not in iniquity. Okay, so young people, I've been around adults where when a young person makes a grave mistake, and adults said, I knew that was going to happen. I could have predicted that. That's rejoicing in iniquity is what that is. Instead of crying, instead of hurting, instead of trying to be helped, that person is saying, out of a self-righteous attitude, I knew that was going to happen. So that's rejoicing in iniquity. It's not. That's not charity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, okay, believeth all things. That would be Bible things. Strange doctrines of the Bible, do I believe them? Okay, when Jesus told the apostles in John 6, I am the bread of life, you eat me, you eat eternal life, get eternal life, you drink my blood, you get eternal life. And then he says, now I'm speaking spiritually, fellas. But they must have went daydreaming when he said that. As I live by the Father, so you live by me. That must have been daydreaming, but that shocked them. And they were just probably so shocked with that statement that they didn't even hear him say, as I live by the Father. He just kept right on talking. And that was a shocking statement. And it says in John chapter 6, verse 66, that many of the disciples left him. They didn't believe all things. They should have went back and said, what do you mean by that? And he probably would have said, well, I told you twice. Weren't you listening? Well, I know you're dull of hearing. I know that happens. I know spirits get in there and plug your ears. So believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. There we go. Okay, that's written in Acts 20. Around Acts 20, tongues shall cease. So when did they cease? Acts 28. 28:28. It's about, if we're going to put it down to a time. Where there shall be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Okay, so that's what we know in part. But when that which is perfect is come. Okay, that which is perfect is come. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, some will say that's the completed revelation of the Bible. No, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says face to face in verse 12. So that's the flesh and bones word of God. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, in the next chapter, he's going to say, you need to keep some of your childish things, like the malice. Be childlike in malice. Be understanding in men, but in children, in malice, be children. For we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Okay, so face to face, that is the interpretation of verse 10, where the perfect, that's Jesus Christ. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known by the Lord. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. But what is everybody talking about? Oh, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith, have faith in yourself, have faith in this, have faith in your faith. How about charity? Have charity in the Lord. Have charity towards another believer. That charity, that's the completed definition for us, and that's what we need to believe all things. And we believe that the Spirit of God can mold us to be like Christ, to sanctify us, to exude charity. And I know in our flesh, in my, I can't do that, and I can't, but the Spirit can. And it's a matter of belief. Okay, so that's how you get down to start 14. The 14 should go pretty quick. Okay, any questions?